When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have like a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. She's very good.
And friendship.
Aww. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
Where do we stand? Lady Silverhand looks around the room and says, well, that's everyone here. We're all following the actions that you have set forth.
Huh, well, that's... You guys want to go get drunk?
I mean, yeah?
Yeah, that's a good call.
Leo Sim, what you up to?
Yawning portal, join us for a drink.
And I'm elbowing him a little bit.
Fuck yeah.
Aww.
Is there anything that we can do for you in order to help you prepare?
I should go see my folks.
Well, it's been a while since you've been back there.
Yeah, but I guess if not now, when?
Leos and I would love to go see my family, too. I haven't been home to High Forest in years, and I'd love to see my brothers, and they probably, gosh, you know, I bet I have... like a million nieces and nephews now.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been back to Mithril Hall, so I guess in Thea's words, if not now, then when?
In the morning it shall be done. I will send you to Mithril Hall, High Forest, and Silvery Moon. Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. We're a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast, and I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. With me today is Amy Moore.
I am here today, and glad to be here. I play Thea Amastasia.
And also with us, Carla Johnson.
That is me. Mostly glad to be here because I love you guys, but I'm really sick, so I'm going to complain the whole time. I play Nulara Moonbrook.
And Tom Laird.
I'm super glad to be here and feeling good. And I play Flynn Firebeard.
Guys, it's episode 70.
That's a lot of episodes.
Oh, no.
Hey, we didn't even make any weird sex jokes last episode. What kind of missed opportunity is that? That's why Russ didn't tell us it was episode 69 for exactly for this reason.
I think we should probably make a bunch of weird, fun sex jokes right now. And then Russ can just drop them into the episode.
Sure.
I mean, to be fair, I don't remember, but we probably did make some sex jokes.
Probably.
Just not like 69 specific. You know what,
I don't think we did. It was winter solstice episode.
You're right. It was a wholesome episode.
Grants centric. It was very different.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No, our characters weren't as dirty because they were all like dead and above that, you know?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's just a missed opportunity, you know?
Well, I guess there's always one 69.
What? No,
169.
That's so long.
God. So many years from now. Oh, man.
Russ is super optimistic right now. He's like,
think about how, oh my God. It's seriously like years from now.
Yeah. Like if you know, 52 episodes a year, we're at 70. So that's 120.
Oh, the math is going to break him.
174. Four.
Carry the six. Mm-hmm. He's just holding up 50. Two fingers. I don't know what he's going to make, but he's counting with these two singular.
It's going to be like 8 years.
Yeah.
Oh, is that all?
Oh,
7 and a bit.
That's nothing. I'm going to be 40.
God.
Yep. All right. Well, if you want to see us in 8 years, go over to patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. And there you can join our lovely community. that will be lasting for years and years. If you,
your dollars at that point though are going to be going toward like geriatric care and like home care services,
some sort of walker.
Mm-hmm. Lots are.
Yeah.
Appliances.
So yeah, if you're listening to this in 8 years, if you're listening to this in 2026 and we're still putting out new episodes, like tweet at us or something and say you did it.
Or like whatever exists then.
Yeah. Yeah. Tweet, sure. Yep. Facebook, Discord server.
Whatever. I don't know.
That chip just that's direct, probably implanted in your
direct
brain.
Instant message mm-hmm. into
how,
your
how
brain.
How far ahead do we think technology is going
to
be in 8 years?
There's going to be flying cars. There has to be flying cars because I thought there was going to be
flying
cars.
They've been saying that since the 70s.
Well, yeah, they're already like way the behind our flying cars. Yeah. So
I guess, yeah, just tweet at us.
Okay. When you are a patron, you get an episode dedicated to you randomly here and there, all around the square. And today's episode is dedicated to Rachel Johnson.
Yay, Rachel,
thanks, Rachel Johnson.
Johnson. Rachel. Best last name in the world.
What a coincidence.
Hey, by sheer volume of people who have that last name, is seriously like one of the best, most popular names.
There are lots
names.
Of Johnsons within the Patreon community.
There are.
So many Johnsons.
All right, so that's all I got, I think. What day is it today?
Well, it's Christmas Day.
you there, boy. What day is it today?
What day is it?
No, you know what day it is, and this is why I asked. No, that's not true. Oh, that's next week.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what's happening.
Me neither.
I was just going to tee up to PodCon, but that's 2 weeks from now. I mean, we're going to be at PodCon in 2 weeks. That's pretty fun.
Wow, you could not have sound less enthusiastic.
I thought I had a good bit.
Well, I guess it's all right.
PodCon's going to be great. We're going to see Russ and Amy in person.
Yay.
And it's going to be delightful.
It's going to be real so exciting.
Good. Get ready for hugs. Get
oh,
ready
there'll be
for
some
hugs.
Hugs.
Oh, we're going to hug.
I guess there'll be hugs.
You're getting hugged, Russ.
If someone gives me a fucking one-arm hug back pat, I'm going to be mad.
Oh, yeah, no that's,
two
not,
arms,
that's not going to do. No.
Full on.
Full on.
Just hug like you mean it, people.
Linger just a little too long.
Oh, no such thing.
It's just like, well, I mean, there is such thing.
Like, if I were to caress the small of Tom's back, would that be weird?
I'm on board for it.
We're going to have matching shirts.
As long as you're ready for, like, the hug and sway, then I'm ready for it.
I love the hug and sway. Yes. Yeah, okay. I love the hug and sway.
I love how you have, like, a... like a response to, all right, well, if someone does that, I'm going to do this.
Busting out the sway.
Yeah, just got to bump it up a level every time, I guess.
Every time. Fuck it, let's play D&D.
Okay.
No need to yell.
Do you want to play a game?
We criticize him for not showing any emotion, then he does, and we cut him right back down.
Where he belongs.
We're the worst.
Sorry, no. Russ was playing. I just have to. You just started, and I'm getting trapped right now. Russ and Addie were playing like a game with like Legos and stuff. And I'm listening. I'm packing in the bedroom. I'm listening to this very extreme. Like they have plots and there are subplots. It's the whole thing. Russ uses character voices. Anyway, apparently his character, I guess, kidnapped one of Addie's characters. She wanted him back, and he's like, do you want to play a game? And there's just a pause, and she's like, sure.
Why wouldn't I? That's
I
the whole
games.
Idea here. You're like, I'm a child. I love games. Let's play
games.
The game.
And she was just like, yeah, okay.
Let's, so she hasn't caught up on all the Saw movies.
Yeah,
no,
you know, we've only done Saw 1.
Yeah.
Would you like to play D&D?
Not anymore. Yeah. I'm good.
Over it.
This is just random chat.
Everybody went home. They all had a great time. Let's go die to a dragon.
Okay. Can we just do that?
I mean, if that was an option, I don't think we'd be 70 episodes into this.
You had been sent to your respective homes.
Sounds like we did something wrong.
You've been sent home.
Yeah. You know what? You guys, you weren't playing ball quite like they were looking for. So they're like, no, what? You just go home. Think about what you've done. We'll catch up with you later. After the end of the world, obviously.
Sure. Yeah.
And you're doing that because you're going to go save the world. Or try to. Who got there first? You did. You got there first.
I did. Are you sure?
I mean,
are you sure I didn't stop along the way and meander?
No.
You teleported. How could you meander?
Pretty sure. And we did a scene where you walked into Silvery Moon. So, I mean, that's where we'll pick up, is you walking through the front gates of Silvery Moon, which is a large elven city within the region of Faerun.
Sure is.
Yeah. So
that's where I live.
What does Thea do when she gets to Silvery Moon? Who's she there to see?
She's there to see her parents. Because we did not leave on the best of terms. Frankly, I don't even think Thea told her parents she was going. As far as they knew, she was at the university, and then she was not. I probably left a scrawled note.
And what did the note say?
Probably said,
gone fishing.
Be back in five.
She pulled a real Grancis.
The note said, this life isn't for me. I can't ever be what you want me to be. Something else that rhymes.
With B.
One day you'll see.
Sincerely, Thee.
Yeah. It was, I can't live up to your ridiculous expectations. Mm-hmm. I'd be better off anywhere but here.
Sure.
Not the nicest note. And mind you, she's
kind of a hurtful note.
Well, when she left, she's still kind of like a teen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how long have you been gone then?
I think I've been gone for probably 50 years.
50?
Well, you know, that's like five elven years.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, so where are we going to find, I guess, what's the, are you heading right there? Or what's the journey you take to get to your parents?
First, I'm going to head to my favorite tavern.
Stopping by the old haunts.
The Oink and Sparkle.
I love the name of this tavern.
You get to the Oink and Sparkle, and it's just as you had left it. The tavern keep, Benson, he kept it a real pristine since the last time you were there, 50 plus years ago. And you enter, and it's kind of midday, so there's not a huge amount of people there. It's a light lunch crowd in, and you catch Benson helping a customer at the counter there.
We do the thing where we lock eyes, like the door swings open, and he hears the ee, and we lock eyes, and it's like yeah, and it's one of those.
Thea!
It's Benny!
It's been so long. I told you not to call me Benny, but okay, we can deal with
it. You love it, Benny, and I run over and I give him a hug.
He reciprocates the hug, and the hug lingers just a little too long.
I rub his lower back, because it just feels right.
And he just starts to sway.
That's how you do
it. Thea's into it. And there's here for it.
There's one of those like player pianos that starts going at that very moment in the background. Aww. Yeah.
It's nice.
It's quite sweet.
You know, I spent a lot of my time growing up, like pubs in at least Silvery Moon are more like British pubs. So like they're really public houses. There is no age limit. They just don't serve alcohol to children. You know, whatever. So I've spent a lot of, I've essentially grown up with Benny, and he's the guy I would always run to and talk to about how shitty my parents are and how, you know, one of these days I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to make a name for myself. La, 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 la.
So have you made a name for yourself there, lass?
You know, I think I might have. Benny, I think I might have.
Good for you. Good for you. You know, you've been missed around here.
I don't believe that.
Well, you mean, believe what you will, but it's true.
How's Mom and Pop?
They were quite torn up.
Thea looks super skeptical right now.
Yep, you... They gave you a hard time there, Thea, but I think the time apart, it makes the heart grow fonder, so they say. But they've realized, I think, perhaps they were a little rough on you.
Well, I hope you're right, because I don't know, Benny. I guess I'm here to make amends. The end of the world might be coming.
Yeah, I hear there's lots of things going on.
Yeah, so you just keep, pouring your drinks and take care of that crying dog in the corner. I don't know why you let animals in here.
Well, it's kind of...
It's unsanitary, Ben.
I get it. It's one of them shapeshifting druids, though. You know, they, he came in here and forgot how to change back.
Oh, God.
Got real liquored up on the old elven wine.
Can I walk over to that person and help them change back?
Sure.
Okay. I go over and I whisper into the dog's ear, like, okay, now all you gotta do is just really deep down want to be a human again inside. Go for it, buddy.
Dog kind of looks at you and cocks its head.
I look back at Beatty. I'm like, you motherfucker.
You're the sixth person I got this week.
Benny, I missed you, but I should probably go see my folks. Can I have one for a little bit of courage? A little liquid courage?
Yeah, absolutely. He pours you one.
I drink
whatever
three.
Whatever you were expecting, yeah.
Well, he knows my favorite. What is it, Benny? Do you remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the Periwinkle Tiger's Tail.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Sorry, # Periwinkle Tiger's Tail. If someone could maybe make a cocktail out of that, I'd love to know what you'd put in it.
Yeah,
maybe
that's fun.
Give a picture. I think that'd be great. Anyway, I drink my drink and I put way more gold down than I should have because I have not paid for a drink at Benny's in many years. So I put many, many a gold down and leave before he can say anything else. Because he'd totally try to sneak it back in my pocket, that sneaky fuck.
He had, turned to go, quickly help somebody else and turns back and sees the money and says, I think she still owes me 10 gold. So where do you head off to?
Probably right. Oh, well, I think I'm going to head home to the estate, I guess you could call it. Because they're not technically royalty, but they are
upper class.
Yes, they're an influential family. So they're not like kings and queens. They're more like barons and duchesses. Is that? No, that's a duke and a duchess. Who's with a baron?
A baroness.
Baroness? Yeah, all right. Well, they're more like that level of family. So still very influential.
All right.
And I go to the estate. But I don't go in the front door. Oh, no. I sneak in around back through the bricks that are strategically stacked together that I unstack and then restack after I head through a hole in the brick wall. This is how I used to sneak in and out of the house when I was younger. And I scale up the side of the house and pop open the window. It's loose, as it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
And I go into my childhood bedroom. What do I see? Oh, my God, did they convert it into a gym? They totally did.
No, it's actually...
It's just a barren room with a sex swing in it now.
Oh, God! Wrong room! I get tangled in the pleather curtains. It's bad.
I mean, if that's what you want, that's what we'll leave it as. But I was going to say they left it as you left it.
Mm-hmm. You okay, Carla?
Loses kind of its impact now that it's like a 50 shades of mm-hmm, 50 shades mm-hmm, of periwinkle mm-hmm. up in there.
50 shades of periwinkle. That's what my half of the story is called. And by half, I mean third. I walk around my room and you know, when you see in the movie, someone nostalgically walks through something, right? They trail their finger along their stack of books, and they pick up a teddy from my bed and give it a little squeeze and just kind of look around, and I'm filled with, it's not like a happy, it's not really nostalgia. It's more like, wow, like I remember the feeling of just not being able to wait to get out of this place.
And as you're reminiscing on the good old days, not so great old days, you hear footsteps coming up the stairs to the floor that you are on, and you hear someone say,
hello?
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Strange happenings are occurring in the world of Exandria. Slayed creatures and beasts from days of yore are returning to the land of the living, and it's up to a band of unlikely heroes to re-slay them. Welcome to the Re-Slayer's Take.
Join Jasmine Bular, Jasmine Chung, Jasper Cartwright, and Caroline Lux alongside Game Masters Nick Williams and me, George Primavera, in this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition role-playing adventure through Critical Role's fantasy world of Exandria. But don't worry, you won't need to know the rules to follow this story. All you need to know is that nothing the players do is scripted or planned, and their fates are determined by their own cleverness and the roll of a 20-sided die.
So what the heck are you waiting for? Adventure awaits in the Re-Slayer's Take.
New episodes drop weekly on Mondays wherever you stream your podcasts.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
New Laura.
Yes.
You made it to High Forest.
I did.
And to your family's area, farm,
compound. Compound is probably kind of the right word.
Yeah. Commune, maybe?
You saw your brother, Verez, and he called out, and now your entire family, all your brothers, their spouses, and a bunch of kids have all come running out to greet you. And they're throwing questions at you like rapid fire. Like, where have you gone? Where have you been? What have you seen? What's going on here? Oh my God!
Well, I think that I probably have like written home somewhat. Probably not a lot because, I don't know.
Sure.
New Lara's, you know, a loner. But I think she's like sort of kept in touch with them a little bit. So they've had kind of some idea what has been going on, at least like the generalities that like they probably know who Thea and Flint are. Like I've like told them that I've been, you know, traveling with these people and some of the things we've been doing.
I bet you wrote about riding a dinosaur.
I bet I did. Yeah, and it'll 100%. Be that. It'll be like riding the dinosaur and
The hippogriff.
The hippogriff, the flying castle, but probably only not really. Stuff. Yeah, like only like the cool stuff, not not the
dangerous I've got a dagger
stuff.
That tells me what to do.
Yeah.
Not, I stabbed a friend of mine in the fucking heart.
Well, that just happened, so I definitely haven't written home about that yet. Because I can't imagine the mail system is particularly great, especially when the world's, like, collapsing right now. But yeah, so I feel like they sort of know some stuff.
Sure. We'll say probably the hippogriff is, timeline-wise, the last one that you might have had time to actually get a note to them.
Yeah.
So that would have been a few months, so. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's very fun because, of course, so I have six brothers who all now have spouses. One has a spouse that is a man, but the rest all have women spouses. So there's like a million kids around.
Yeah.
Because they all have kids. So lots of like meeting kids and holding babies and like... It's just a lot of people, right? This is...
You're shaking babies and kissing hands.
Exactly.
What you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm on a real charm offensive with my own family.
It's good. Okay. Well, yeah. So the big initial reintroduction goes down. And then they disperse the kids to be like, okay, give her some space. And they bring you into like the main house where you guys would usually have dinners. It's the only house big enough to house all of them at one given time. So they bring you in there and you sit down with, all of your brothers as everybody else kind of goes off to get things together for a big meal that you guys are going to have. So you're sitting down with your brothers here.
How are you guys? How are things here? Has it been dangerous? Have you seen... The world's pretty messed up out there. How have things been here?
Jonzik, we'll say he's your oldest brother. He speaks up and he says, we've been thankfully secluded from the bulk of what has been happening. We travel in to town, and the roads are more difficult, but we've been careful enough to prevent people from finding out where our family is. We've been safe, and we've been trying to be as safe as possible. We don't break branches around here, so you know we can be pretty sneaky.
Of course, you don't break branches. Come on, I would never accuse you of breaking branches.
Who would do such a thing, right?
Well, I know some folks.
It's fair. Thea and Flint, are they with you, or are you guys coming through? Or
no, they've gone home for a quick visit as well. Seems like things have maybe reached a head.
Okay.
Things are going to happen soon. Big things, maybe world-changing things. So we all took a quick trip home to see the people we love before we go off and, you know, try to fight a dragon.
Yeah.
Or stop a dragon from appearing. We'll see what happens.
So you're a big part in what's happening?
Well, I guess, you know, my friends and I are working with the groups that are trying to stop the dragon from coming. So, okay. I guess, I mean, I'm just one person, so I'm not that important in the grand scheme of things, but
right.
I'm trying real hard to stop things from happening.
So they're sending everybody home then. Okay. You're one of your younger brothers, because you're the youngest, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll say Rulin stands up And he's like, so, hold on. She gets to fight to save the end of the world, but you won't let me go and join the rebels and do our part? And Jonzik kind of just says, not now, Rulin. We'll talk about this later. Nuar's back. Let's all just have a good meal and just talk about some good times right now.
Yeah, I want to hear about what's been going on with you guys. I mean, yeah, I got to ride some dinosaurs and, okay, a dinosaur and, you know, flew in a flying castle and rode a hippogriff and did some cool stuff. But what have you guys been doing? I want to hear about it.
Grun speaks up and he's like, well, I mean, it's been pretty much business as usual, not trying to, as you can see, we have a small army of our own here now, and it's just, you know, we've been trying to keep the family legacy going after Mom and Dad died, and then, you know, a few years later you left, and we've just been trying to keep things as normal as possible for the kids and keep everybody safe and secluded as best we can, cut off from what might happen. There's some, you know, attacks in the nearby towns and stuff. So, we've been trying to keep it as normal as possible for the kids, really.
Normal sounds good. This was the best place to grow up and have a normal childhood. So that's what I want. That's what I want for all my nieces and nephews. And hopefully, you know, we're going to stop this whole thing and it's going to be totally fine.
Absolutely.
And you can just keep on having a lovely, normal life.
That's what we're all hoping for. You see Rulin kind of slam down the drink he's having, like noticeably slam down. Like
he's drama queen.
Bit of a drama queen.
Yeah.
And then he kind of gets up in a huff and storms out of the main hut that you're in.
Okay, I'm going to follow him.
Jonzik looks at you and just kind of nods as you head off there. You follow him out, and he kind of goes off into the trees a little bit, and ends up at a place where you two would go and hang out. I don't know, what would you two do there, and where did you go?
It's a giant rock, and we would climb to the top of the giant rock, and we would try to jump off silently, and it was like our skill test to see how like quiet we could be in the forest, because it's quite a big drop. And also, you know, we could just, like, chill out up there and see if anyone was coming and have some privacy.
He goes up there and you see him kind of climb to the top of this rock and he sits down and is looking out over the treetops that you can see there.
I'm going to climb up there, too.
He turns and looks at you as you get to the top. He's like, I heard you coming a while back.
Yeah, sure you did. Sure you did. I see that look on your face, a little surprised I snuck up on you.
Okay, so you got a little sneakier.
What's going on with you?
Well, I don't know. It seems like there's a lot going on, and you know, we're just hiding in the trees. It seems like there could be more that we could be doing.
But you have a family. You want to leave your family to come
fight
evil wizards and dragons?
No, I don't want to leave my family to do that. I want to make sure that they have a place to stay that's safe.
Well, that's what you're doing. There's value in what you're doing here. You're providing a good life for your family, for your kids, for your nieces and nephews. That's valuable.
And what happens if the people who are trying to stop these dragons and wizards don't stop them?
Well, I don't know. You want the real answer or the nice answer?
But I think we can be real with each other, no?
Okay, well, if the bad guys win, you're going to be awfully happy to have had every moment of peace and happiness that you could cram in before, you know, the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty dire.
And you're closer to this than you're telling Jonzik and the others.
I'm pretty close to it. My friends and I are pretty involved.
So how can I help?
I think you are helping. Like I said, you're providing a good home and a good, happy life for our family. And I guess maybe think about if things go bad, maybe things will be untouched here. It's possible. And if that happens, then don't totally isolate yourselves from the world. If you can help people, you should help people. You know, don't risk the lives of our family, but most people are good people. So, you know, we don't need to be so isolated here.
Right. Okay.
Feel better? I mean, I just told you the world might end, so probably not great.
Good as one can feel when your sister, who's trying to save the world, tells you that if it goes bad, it's going to go real bad.
Hey, we're really hoping it's not going to go bad. I can tell you that. We got a lot of good people, a lot of real wicked, magic, cool, strong people working on it. So,
yeah,
fingers crossed.
I think we'll leave it there. You guys just looking out over the...
No way, man. I jumped down so fucking silent. He's amazed.
You just disappear.
I wish I had Featherfall or something I could cast. But I don't.
Flint, you had gone to the secret door to Mithril Hall.
Yeah.
You had made it into the Undercity, the main area of Mithril Hall. Gone through all of the Mithril Hall is built. It's all a series of interconnected tunnels, and it's a web of ways that dwarves can get in and out, but it's also designed that way to keep other people from getting out. And having lived there for so many years, you are well tuned to know where to go, even after having been gone for so long. You make it, and you are overlooking Undercity. What's Flint's first thought and first stop once he gets there?
First stop for Flint is the throne room. Wants to go pay his respects.
You head to the throne room. It's off and away from the Undercity a little bit. It's a huge open cavern. That is the entire... walls of it are all intricately designed, and there's giant pillars carved into the walls, and a giant throne at the far side of this room.
Is the king currently on the throne, or is it empty?
King is not there at the moment.
Okay. Flint just kind of strolls in and has a bit of a look around and kind of looks longingly up at the throne, kind of does a little head bow, and, turns around and walks out.
You turn around and you make it back to the door. You see a dwarven male looking down at a book who kind of almost runs into you as you are exiting the throne room. And he kind of stumbles into you and says, Oh, sorry.
No apology needed.
He kind of looks at you for a second. Is there anything I can help you with?
I just thought if the king was around, I'd pay my respects, but obviously I see he's not here.
No, he's been called to help get the military ready. Big battles coming up.
I'm very aware.
Yeah. Obviously, everybody's aware. He might be back. In later tonight, if you're around. You seem familiar. I don't know if I've seen you around here recently.
Probably not for a while here now, a couple years at least. Flint Firebeard.
Firebeard. Oh, Firebeard's boy. Yeah, no. Of course. He was a blacksmith, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's good to see you. Are you going to be around long?
Not really sure, to be honest. I think just a couple days.
Of course.
Kind of got some some stuff percolating back with the old Tiamat, you know, possibly rising real soon. So
right.
I don't think I'm going to be around too long.
Yeah, no, of course, of course. Okay, well, I've got to get this book back here. You know, library, late fees.
Oh, those late fees will kill you.
Right.
Death by a thousand cuts.
Whew. That's if you're lucky. Yeah, say hello to your mother and make sure you give her a big hug for me.
Yeah, sure. Will do.
And he hurries off in the other direction.
Yeah, I'll make my way kind of back towards the undercity there and make my way back to my folks' place.
You make your way through, and the undercity, it's always busy, but it's exceptionally busy. Every smith shop, every person making armor or weaponry is working at full tilt. It's hot in there. The furnaces are going at high heat nonstop. And in the time you lived here, it was never this busy, which is reflective of what you are currently going through. You make your way down and around the homes in the Undercity. It kind of goes down a spiral down to the bottom of the Undercity pit, and your folks' place is about two-thirds of the way down, and you make it to the entrance to their house.
I do my patented cool guy knock on the door.
There's a bit of a wait at the door. And after a moment, you hear footsteps shuffling as they get closer and nearer. And the door unlatches and it opens up. And you see your sister, Helja. She looks at you square in the eyes and just her jaw drops. She can't believe that she is seeing you.
Hey, sis.
Flint. And she jumps at you and gives you a big hug. And it's a firm firebeard embrace with a slight caress at the small of the back.
Always.
Worse from a sister than a barkeep.
Right? We thought the barkeep was awkward.
It's how you know you're a firebeard.
Yeah, no, I kind of have the wind knocked out of me and hug her back. And it's real nice to see you too there, sis.
Yeah, no, it's been too long. It's been too long. And she kind of steps back and releases you from the embrace. And you see she's a little bit misty-eyed. And she says, come in. And she opens the door wider and lets you in. Sorry, we haven't cleaned up here. Mom's just in the back there. I guess you wouldn't know. Why would you know? You've been gone a long time, Flint.
Yeah, it's been too long.
Well, there's no easy way to tell you this. Dad passed away a couple weeks ago.
Oh, how?
We don't know exactly. The doctor just said it was just old age and something wrong with either his lungs or his heart, or it's just something working in the for so long as a blacksmith. You know, he's been working for hundreds of years, you know, taking in taking in fumes and stuff, and it was just his time.
So it was quick. He didn't suffer.
It was a while, but they were able to give him enough medicine that he didn't feel a lot of what was going on. And, And yeah, he went in his sleep one night.
How's mom holding up?
She's not great. It's been tough. It's been tough on her and me, and we've just been trying to get through as she kind of scurries around the room, cleaning up papers and mugs and tidying up as she's talking to you.
I help her clean everything up.
You two put the room back into the best, much better repair than it was in previously. And she says, Mom must be asleep. I should go tell her you're here. Are you staying long? Are you back?
Not back per se. Just for a visit for a couple days. Why don't you let her sleep and I'll see what I can whip up in the kitchen. We'll have her wake up to something good.
Okay. I might zip out and just run out and grab a few things if you're okay here, and I don't really want to surprise her. I'll try and be as quick as I can. She went down for a quick nap, not too long before you got here. So I'll be right back though. Okay.
Sure.
She quickly runs out, grabs her couple things, basket, and heads out. Closes the door behind her.
Flint, ever so carefully, tries to take out some bowls and like a spice grinder and various other things, flour mill, etc., and gets set up to make a sweet potato pie because it's his mom's favorite.
Well, hello there, my friend. How are you? It's me, your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. Thanks for joining us for episode 70 of Dungeons & Dragons, Returning Home. I just want to say, as the DM of this crew, I think everyone did a beautiful job with this and next episode, and we really hope you enjoy them too. It's been a super busy and fun week for us, though, and we're back in record-ahead mode as we're gearing up for PodCon, which is less than 2 weeks away at this point, so that's super exciting. There's going to be tons of awesome panels and shows that we'll be checking out. We finally get to meet so many podcast friends who we've met and worked with online over the last couple of years, and now finally get to meet in person. Yay! And speaking of online podcast friends, you might have noticed, if you were a part of our Facebook group or have us on Twitter, that we have reworked our Facebook group, changed it up, as they say, to now include a whole supergroup of actual play podcasts so that we can create a bigger community to talk all about all of these great shows, conduct interviews of the DMs and cast members, and also have a bigger crew to talk about D&D and tabletop RPGs with. The new group is called the Reckless Play Guild, and it includes the End of Time and Other Bothers, the Lucky Die Podcast, and Dark Dice, and us. So the Dungeoneers that were already members of the previous Dungeons Only group are now part of this new group, and with all this rambling, we just want you to be a part of it too. There are many other places you can find and interact with us here at Dungeons & Dragons, including on Patreon, patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where you'll become part of the inner sanctum of the Dumb Dragon Cast, making the show better with each and every episode. At just that dollar per month, you'll have access to a ton of monthly bonus episodes, exclusive channels on our Discord server, as well, we recently started releasing the Skype calls of us recording and playing the game. Unedited, all the goofs, bathroom breaks, and dog farts that you can handle are available to Patreon only. We don't take you to the bathroom, but you know, we talk about other things while somebody else goes and does that. Again, that's patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, and we hope to see you over there. The next episode will be out next Wednesday, January 16th. So with that, let's get back to these lovely home episodes. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Do I recognize the voice that's coming in the hall?
It sounds like your mother.
For a minute, Thea panics. like she's not supposed to be in there. But.
Hello?
I open the door into the hall.
The door opens and you see the woman who was coming up the stairs, and she jumps like she's didn't expect anyone to actually be up there. Thought it was just a thump of, you know, house settling.
1,000-year-old houses settle.
It's fine.
Those elves' houses take a long time to settle.
Long time, you know. And she looks at you and says, Thea.
Hi, Mom.
What are you doing here?
Just thought I'd stop in.
She looks like she's struggling with how to feel right now. You see her kind of get like a stern face, and she furrows her brow.
That I know so well. Like, yeah. Go on.
And as you brace yourself for, you know, the lecture or reprimand that you think you're going to get, her face softens and she begins to cry. And she rushes to you and gives you a big hug.
Oh, Thea was not expecting this, so she, like, I don't know, like, I don't think she's ever really felt warmth from her parents. I think she can probably count on one hand the amount of hugs she actually had. And so she's a little taken aback and does like the little like, oh, don't cry, Mom. Pat, pat, pat on the back.
It's just you've been gone for so long. And I mean, you never wrote to us to tell us where you were. And I mean, you wrote to Master Carlyle and told him where you, I mean, he told us some of what you wrote. I don't know how much he told us, but how can you,
Mom?
How? Why did you leave and not tell us where you were going?
Well, I don't expect you to understand. I never fit in here. I was never enough for you and Dad.
What are you talking about?
Oh, don't do that. You know what I'm talking about. Mm. Why did you ship me off to the university?
I mean, you were...
Wasn't a choice I made.
Difficult to deal with.
Well, I left because you and Pop are difficult to deal with. Listen, I wanted to become my own person. You two cast long shadows here. There's no way I could live up to the expectations you had. It wasn't what I wanted for my life. You didn't care. You never listened. If I told you I was going, you would have told me not to. Probably would have made sure that I couldn't. I didn't tell you where I was so you wouldn't come and get me.
Yeah, you're right.
What?
We didn't know how to deal with you. You weren't, I don't want to use the word normal, but you weren't what the book said you were supposed to be.
I'm sorry, did you make me from a cookbook? Did you follow the recipe completely?
Look,
yet I still turned out burnt?
I mean, you were baked.
Often.
All the time.
All the time.
I could smell it on you from down the block. We shipped you off because we just didn't have the understanding to deal with it, and I'm sorry. We shouldn't have. We should have known more. We should have tried harder. We should have done better, and maybe you wouldn't have run off and done, I don't even know where you've been.
You shouldn't be sorry. Everything that has happened to me has led me to where I am right now, and it's a pretty important place.
You hear the front door to the house open.
Shit, is that Dad?
Similar.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me. I'm here.
A very familiar footstep into the house. You hear from down the steps, Mitzi! Mitzi, where are you?
Just a second. I'll be right down.
What do you mean, don't tell him?
No, sorry. That was just, you know, just snap reflex.
Okay. There's someone here, dear. Are you all right? Should I call the police? Knock twice if you're being attacked. No, I'm fine.
This is weird. Why does he come up?
You know...
What if I were attacking you, Mom? What the hell?
You know your father. He's difficult.
You should ship him off to university. Did me wonders. And I start down the stairs.
Boom!
Walked right into that
Dropping
one.
Bombs.
Yep. New Lara.
Oh.
Whoa, he's had enough
Ending
of me.
Ending on the sass. I like it.
So you have, I assume you've kind of done a little bit of running around through the woods and then head back to your compound?
Yeah, I think so. Like, we kind of hang out and just, like, chill, like, push each other a little bit, you know, sibling stuff.
Yep.
Especially because we were the closest, I think. If we had a secret hiding spot together, we were obviously close. And then, go back and kind of, you know, help get ready for that nice big first meal. I think normally all those families don't all eat together every day. They all have their own homes.
Yeah.
But probably like once a week they do.
Mm-hmm.
But since I'm there, it's a special occasion. I think maybe what happens at dinner is that one of the brothers or maybe one of the older nieces and nephews has heard the words Decimator of Dragons.
Have they heard the song, maybe?
And they, yeah, probably. That makes sense. And they all think that's real fucking funny. Like, they are not impressed at all. Like, they're totally, like, just...
Auntie Nulara, you think you're so cool, but you're not so cool.
I mean, the kids parts. Probably think it's cool, but, yeah. Like, my brothers and their wives and husband, like, their part... Like, they are just like, oh, yeah. My God. Like, I'm their baby sister. They think this is just, like... So, they're, like, ribbing me pretty hard about, like... Just being dumb, you know? Like, oh, this is a Decimator of Dragons. Want some more potatoes? And I sort of hate it because I, of course, like, want them to be proud of me, but yeah. I obviously am, like, trying so hard not to react because the last thing you want to do is, like, give your siblings the satisfaction of knowing that they're getting they under your you, skin. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I've only been back 6 hours, guys. Fuck.
Exactly. It begins.
I will decimate these fucking potatoes. Thank you very much.
Exactly. So it's just kind of like, you know, I've come home. Nothing's changed. Yep. They are totally, like, not really that impressed with me.
Yeah. No, I like that. I think probably after dinner, after everything's all cleaned up, the nieces and nephews have been sent off to bed. Reluctantly, they go. You're sitting around a fire with a couple of your brothers, maybe Jonzik and Belur.
So, Decimator of Dragon. I know we were kind of bugging you about that there, but, like, are you really decimating dragons?
Well... I mean, what am I going to say, you guys? You're going to
No, it's
you're
that
gonna, you're
tells us everything. She's not decimating dragons. No, no.
We haven't done great against a dragon, if I'm going to be totally honest. We're really going to try to stop the rise of Tiamat, but I mean, my friends and I have faced a few dragons.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't gone great. I mean, the one time we had dragons on our side, so that one was pretty good.
That sounds
I've
more,
met some
more
pretty,
helpful.
Some pretty cool dragons that are like
really?
The good guys.
Yeah.
So that was terrifying, but impressive. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. We've done some good work, but let's say the songs maybe is a little overblown when it comes to decimating dragons. But, you know, we've fought some big, awful, nasty creatures and brains in jars and the whole gamut.
All right. Well, as long as we know that, you know, you're not putting yourself in too much danger, then I guess we can get on board with this or lock you in the cellar again like we did when you were 8.
I mean, I can handle myself pretty well, so...
She says with confidence.
As she fucking makes her sword break into flame.
Yeah, how far do they have to push you before you pull that thing out? And you're like, you wanna go? You wanna see what I can decimate?
Hold on, did everybody go back with, like, full armor and weapon regalia?
I did.
I mean, I assume probably just because, right.
Yeah, I assume I would have my normal,
place
like,
right now.
Sure.
Gear on me.
Yeah, that's cool.
You never know what your DM's going to throw at you.
Nothing. So, your brothers, they get up from the fire and say, well, are you around for tomorrow? Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be here tomorrow, you bet.
Okay. Well, we're gonna head to bed, and you got a room there still. Make it yours, and we'll see you in the morning.
Okay, guys, it's good to be home.
Good to have you back. May head off to bed. You do the same.
You betcha.
You climb into bed, and as you begin to drift off, you hear a voice.
Well, this is a new place. I think it's time.
Flint, you've been whipping up some deliciousness there. Sweet potato pie, I believe is what you said.
You're damn right. Fargrim's very own recipe.
Beautiful. You managed to get most of it put together and into the oven, and your sister... Helja, she comes back through the door, rushed, full basket full of some groceries and other things for the house, and she looks at you and looks around. She's not awake yet?
No, haven't heard a peep.
Okay, thank you for being here. Smells delicious. Is that the delicious sweet potato pie that we haven't had in so long?
Yeah, it was Dad's favorite one to make, so figured it was fitting.
Okay, well, I'm sure Mom's gonna love it. She begins putting some... Dwarves don't really have flour. She begins putting some dried shrubbery out around the house. Oh, it's underground. It's no sun. We don't put live flowers down there. You hear the door open to your mom's bedroom. And she is in her robe and steps out into the main room and she's kind of looking down at something. And she says, Helja, what are you making? It smells delicious. And she looks up and sees you and immediately starts crying.
I dust the flour and things off my hands and I rush forward and give her a big old Firebeard style hug.
You give her the biggest hug and you feel her and she feels like she's kind of gotten thinner over the last little while, at least since the last time you saw her, whenever that was, quite a while ago, but you can tell that the grief she's been going through might be taking a toll on her own health, and she's sobbing in your arms.
I just hold her.
A good moment goes by. She collects herself and steps back and says, Flint, it's good to see you. I assume Helja has mentioned the news.
Yeah. Helja filled me in. Yeah. It's sorry, it's not better circumstances, Mom.
I only wish it was a few weeks, but I know you guys didn't really get along very well. But he would have loved to have seen you.
We didn't, we weren't the closest when I was younger, but it's a shame I never got to say goodbye.
It is. How long are you here for?
Just a couple days, I think.
Well, it looks wonderful in here. thank you for tidying up to you and Helja.
Well, I mean, I did most of the work, but
shut up!
I say with a smile.
She chuckles says, "Come, sit down. Tell me." Where you've been and what you've been doing. I mean, the last we saw you, you joined some military group or something, going off to fight battles bigger than yourself. And what are you doing now? What brings you home?
Yeah, it wasn't long for the mercenary outfit that I joined. Kind of changed hands a couple times, and it wasn't really what I'd originally signed up for, so I paid my way out with the savings that I'd had, and I'm adventuring with a couple real good friends of mine right now. I got an elf and a human that I'm hanging around with.
You would hang out with an elf and a human, wouldn't you?
Well, you know, I always had a soft spot for elves.
Yes you did. Always wanted to be an elf swinging in a tree. Hammocks. You know, the thing about hammocks, too.
I love hammocks, but, you know, they're just not made for dwarves.
I tried to tell you. I mean,
I know you were right.
And you had such a hard time with it, but you're like, no, we'll get it.
Well, I thought I would learn, but it's a lot trickier than it appeared.
Yeah, you just need to have an extra 3 feet on your legs. And away you go.
I mean, that would look really weird if I had legs that were an extra 3 feet long. But I hear you.
Yeah,
I hear you.
Yep. Well, you're being safe then, and you're surrounding yourself with good people.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, they're the best.
Good.
Even that goblin we had with us for a while was pretty great.
Goblin? What is happening?
Hey, you'll take any sort of help you can get when you're out there.
I suppose. I wouldn't know, but I'll take your word for it.
Oh, I better go grab that pie before it starts burning.
You pull it out of the oven and get everybody seated down at the table, and you all sit around for a lovely meal, the three of you.
Music in today's episode was by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.filmmusic.io.
Okay, so previously
on Dungeons and Dragons.
Thanks for the clean edit there. I'll just plunk that into the current one.
I think he's being sincere.
I don't know.
Seems sincere.
I'm not sure.
What are you making that face?
I'm like, is this a dig at me? Are you taking a dig at me?
No, it's good.
He just stares at him for like 30 seconds. Like,
thanks for the clean edit.
Right? That's exactly what it is. Dead eyes. Just dead eyes looking at me. Like, I was so being good. Helpful.
I don't know how I'm going to edit this.
Oh, God.
You're not. You're going to release. You're going to release.
Nope. That's not what's going to happen.
That's how I plan on speaking for the rest of the time.
So previously.
Sounds right.
Hashtag. Periwinker's tiger tail. Please.
Periwinkers.
Amy's almost threw a periwinkle tiger's tail in real life. So,
yo, a little peep behind the curtain,
Amy immediately looked at her three-quarter empty bottle of alcohol.
It's my first three-quarter empty alcohol bottle. Pick up a teddy on.
Shut up!
She might be dying.
You saw your brother. Fabrez. Yep. Me save. Go and fight with these. What's the word I'm looking for?
Rebels.
Rebels.
Heroes, Russ. We're heroes.
Capital E.
Right. Yeah. After, you know, mom and dad left or died, not left. Didn't go anywhere.
They just left. They were like, there's too many of you. Fuck it.
They went to a farm where they could run to a farm.
Not this farm, though. They went to a different farm.
A different farm. Just for her parents.
Jumps at you and gives you a big hug, which knocks you down into the Undercity and you're falling down.
Sure, we fall to our death, yep.
Yeah. Hello.
Ghost mom.
I've been drinking early, apparently.
Hello.
She's very chill and she thinks it's a burglar.
Master, what's the dude's name?
Splinter.
No. Not Benson. Splinter. Master Splinter. No, your university guy.
Yeah, I know.
I was trying to Splinter. Subtly get it in there. I was trying to like
you were trying to inception me.
Sort of. Like you was trying to subliminally make it Splinter.
What are your parents' names?
They're like stupid rich people names like Mitzi.
Apologies to any Mitzis who might be listening.
Yeah, apologies to you, Mitzi. Sorry. I'm sure you're lovely. I'm sure you're not a stupid rich person. It's just the first rich person name that came to my head. And
Farnsworth.
Dungeons and Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
The influence of Freemasonry is undeniable, but who are these mysterious apron-wearing craftsmen, and what are they up to? For centuries, hater-ass conspiracy theorists have attempted to answer these questions.
Two Flat Earthers Kidnap a Freemason, starring Zane Schacht as Randy Dunning, Lauren Grace Thompson as Gail Kruger, and Matthew Woodcock as Walter Clay.
I just want to go on the record right now and say that I, Randy Dunning, am 100% anti-gravity.
Like, subscribe, and share your way to the truth when two flat earthers kidnap a Freemason.